Turn with me in your Bibles. If you'll just give me just a few minutes here this morning, I'm going to use some wisdom. But I would like to preach to you this morning just something the Lord's dealt with me about in my own devotion time. We're going to read this and try our best to obey the Lord and get out of the way and let the Lord speak to us this morning. Turn with me to Colossians, the second chapter. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Colossians, the second chapter. Verse 8, if you'll give me about 20 minutes this morning, I want to deliver to you what the Lord's laid on my heart. Direction the Lord has just felt like he's led me. Praise the Lord. Let's let the Lord mold us this morning. Can we do that? Praise the Lord. How many of you is going to help me while I preach?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sometimes I tell you, unless till you've been up here and in this situation, and you know me, generally, after the Holy Ghost has moved, generally, I a lot of times I don't say a whole lot, but I just didn't feel like the Lord gave me the release to do that this morning. So Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, I'd like to share something with you. The Bible says here in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." We could keep on reading, but that's where I want to stop this morning. Lift your hands and pray for us this morning. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord God, for your touch and your mercy. God, for how you've come by and touched us and blessed us. God, we're not trying to go over the top of you this morning, Lord. God, we could never outdo you, Lord. We thank you for your spirit. We just ask you, Lord, to help us, God, to deliver this morning. God, multiply it, God, to your people and use it for your glory. God, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says here in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, said, "Beware." Begins here with a warning. Lest any man spoil you. The word spoil there literally means to rob or to empty. Through the idea of an invading army taken away from you. So the Apostle Paul begins with a warning here about emptiness, if you will. Or about being robbed. Or about your valuables, if you will, being stolen from you. He said, "Beware lest any man spoil you." But we've got here a contrast between two things. There, Apostle Paul says, "Beware lest any man spoil you, or empty you, or rob you." And then at the latter part of verse 8, the Apostle Paul begins to talk about Christ. And so we've got a contrast here between that emptiness. And then in verses 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul tells us, said, "And not after Christ, for in him dwelleth all of the fullness." That word fullness means the peace which has been put in to fill up. And he said, "The fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete," or "ye are filled," or "ye are full in him." I want to talk to you this morning about that contrast that the Apostle Paul lists. And I want to talk to you this morning just about those three words. Ye are complete in Christ. The Apostle Paul contrasts the two things of being empty and being full. Of being spoiled or being full. Being robbed or having abundance. And I want to talk to you about being complete in Christ this morning. At the end of those three verses, we can conclude this morning that we are to forsake the emptiness of the world. And to follow after the fullness that is in Christ. Can I tell you this morning that fullness only exists in Jesus Christ? I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul tells us to beware of an empty world. I'm telling you, the closer I get to God, Brother Allen, I've got a long way to go. But the closer I get to the Lord, the emptier the world looks to me. The more that I've gone for Christ, the emptier the world has gotten to me. The fuller that I've gotten of the Holy Ghost, the emptier the world gets. The things that used to satisfy me do not satisfy me anymore. The things that used to fill me and make me happy don't make me happy anymore. I'm telling you this morning, the closer you get to God, the emptier the world is going to be. The Bible tells us this morning over and over again how empty of a place that the world is. Jesus of that woman of Samaria at the well, he draws the same contrast that the Apostle Paul draws for us here in the book of Colossians chapter 2. When he's standing there at that well, you know the story. The lady comes. She's had a lot of different lovers. She's tasted the loves and the pleasures of the world. But Jesus draws this contrast for her. And he said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Brother, I don't believe he was just talking about the water in the well. But I believe he was looking down into her soul, Brother Brian. He saw the life that woman had lived. And speaking wiser than even she even realized he was saying at the time, he said, if you drink of this water, he said, you're going to thirst again. But in verse 14, he said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Jesus tells this woman with many lovers who has tasted the pleasures of the world. He said, you're drinking out of empty wells. I'm telling you this morning, the world is an empty well. I'm telling you, every well that I've ever drunk of in the world has come up empty. I'm telling you, the devil always pays in counterfeit. Paul cautions these Colossians against things that are empty. But Christ tells this woman, he said, you've been drinking out of empty wells. I'm telling you, Brother Allen, I have drunk out of the world's wells. I have looked at what the world looks at. I have talked how the world has talked. And I have hung around the people that the world has to offer. And I have enjoyed some of the entertainment when I was in sin that the world had to offer. But I'm telling you, it always came up empty. Paul, and our text this morning gives and cautions those Colossians against those things that are empty. And he lists those things that are empty for us this morning. And he lists as one of those things the philosophy of the world. He said, beware lest any man spoil you or rob you or empty you. I'm telling you this morning, beware of becoming empty people. I'm telling you, you say this morning, I'm a child of God. I can't be emptied of the things of God. But I'm telling you this morning, the Apostle Paul said, beware of those things that would rob you or empty you or spoil you. And he said, beware first of all of the world's philosophy. I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with world with wisdom. There is nothing wrong with knowledge this morning. But Paul warns of that wisdom, particularly in this day, in this hour, by a group of people that like to measure Christ by their philosophy and not their philosophy by Christ. I'm telling you this morning, you need to measure your philosophy by Christ. People have become spoiled and empty because they began to look around at their situation and they felt like that Christ was not fair to them. They began to measure their philosophy. They began to measure Christ by their philosophy. They began to go with what they felt instead of what they knew. I'm telling you, when you start going by what you feel instead of what you know, you're going to be spoiled this morning. You say, Brother Scott, that's easy for you to say. You don't feel how I feel. You ain't been where I've been. That may be this morning, but I tell you, I have battled with feelings before, and I have battled with feeling with going with what I felt rather than what I knew was right. And I'm telling you this morning, in the book of Romans chapter 1 verses 18 through 32, the Bible tells us of a society then that began to go with what they felt rather than what they knew, a group of people that began to measure Christ by their philosophy instead of their philosophy by Christ, and it sunk them deeper into sin. The philosophy of the world. Let's go with what you feel. 1 Timothy 6:20, the Bible said, he said, keep that which is committed to thy trust. He calls the philosophy of the world profane and vain babblings, oppositions of science. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16, he said, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Stop listening to the philosophy of the world. Stop going with what you feel rather than what you know is true. One man was asked one time, "What's the greatest truth that you've ever found in the Word of God?" And he said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." I'm telling you this morning, that sounds simple to you, but I'll tell you, that's kept me a time and time again when I didn't go with what I felt, but I went with what I knew. The devil said, "God's left you," but I said, "No. The Bible said, for God so loved the world." The Bible said that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He warned, second of all, this morning about vain deceit, deceitfulness of riches. The Bible calls it in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. He calls it deceitfulness of riches. In Song of Solomon chapters 1 through 3, it begins, and the preacher, it calls him the preacher Solomon. And he said, he begins and he said, "Vanity of vanities." He said, "All is vanity." And the Solomon looks around, Brother Derek, and he said, "I got me men servants and I got maid servants." He said, "I had all the wisdom in the world." He said, "I had this and I had that, but what I found out was that it was all vanity, that nothing could satisfy me. Nothing can fill the longing in my heart. Nothing could fill the empty place in my soul." I'm telling you this morning, the devil always pays in counterfeit. Everything that I've ever tried in the world, Brother Buchanan, has always come up the end to be worthless, to be without value. When I got up to the cash register of life, Brother Brian, and I handed the cashier the money expecting payment, expecting something for what I gave him, I found out that it came up empty. I found out that the judge of all the universe let mark the bill and said, "This thing is counterfeit." I'm telling you this morning, when I get to the end of this age, I've got to have a hold of something that's real. I've got to have a hold of the real, genuine thing. Otherwise, when I get to the end of this way, the judge of all this world is going to mark my money, Brother Buchanan. He's going to mark that I've given him, and he's going to say it's counterfeit. It's worthless because you didn't have the one thing that mattered. The next thing that he lists is traditions of men. I'm hurrying through this. I thought about this. It literally means the precepts of Jewish tradition. But Paul said, "Beware of those things that spoil you or empty you." I believe it was a church at Ephesus. He warned them. He said, "You've left your first love." He said, "You're doing what you need to do." He said, "But you don't love what you're doing." They had become religious. Paul is warning them about religion. There's a lot of men that find comfort in religion. But I'm telling you, religion has done more to kill this church age than anything else that I can think of. Religion has done more to keep sinners away from altars. Religion has done more to keep people from witnessing to folks about the Lord than anything that I know of. People get comfortable when they get religious. I'm telling you this morning, religion is something that's done over and over again. That's the basic definition of religion. Somebody said, "I got religion." And in some cases, listen, they really got a hold of God, and I thank God for it. But I think they're using the wrong word. You know what religion means? It means doing something over and over and over again. You know something I found out that's got religion, Brother Chad? A dog has got religion. If you give it a bone, it's going to go bury it. And it's going to do it over and over and over again. I'm telling you this morning, a dog has got religion. Religion, when I think of religion, I think of the struggle that Paul went through. He said, "Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin." I go to a holiness church. A Hebrew of the Hebrews had a good name. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But at the end of the day, he's struggling with that religion. Religion's not enough to fill the empty space. A lot of people feel comfortable when they get religious because they come to the house of God. They feel like that's enough. And they get comfortable because they come to the house of God. They soothe their conscience because they come to the house of God. I'm telling you this morning, but they never come to an altar. They never pray. Their life has never been surrendered to the Lord. I'm telling you this morning, religion is robbing you. Religion is robbing you. Religion is spoiling you. It is taking away from you eternal life. Religion. The traditions of men. Then in Psalm chapter 7 and verse 24, Romans chapter 7, Apostle Paul is struggling with religion. And he said, "O wretched man that I am," he said, "who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" God, I got a good name. I go to church every time the doors are open. I dress right, I look right, everything is just right. But there's an empty place in my soul. Ravi Zacharias said in the Hindu religion that there are, I think he said, 3 some odd million different gods. Million gods. They got a god for everything. And he said that in India, when he was growing up, he said there was a popular song on the radio. And that popular song would go through different situations of life. Whether it's people committing suicide, or whether it was, whether it was war over on this side of the world, and then people celebrating over here, and they couldn't quite understand why all it was going on. And they kept asking the question, the song would ask the question over and over again. Why? Who? Who is going to answer? The Apostle Paul looked around at all of his religion, all of his tradition, and he said, but there's a who missing. There's something missing. Something missing. He said, I'm doing all of this stuff, but I'm coming up empty. And then he mentions the rudiments or the elements of the world. Literally, the orderly arrangement of the world. You know what he's saying? Just following the crowd. Just following the crowd. He said following the crowd is going to cause you to come up empty. There's a lot of folks, just worldliness in general, that's going to come up empty because they're following the crowd. Young people, listen to me. You're going to come up empty if you keep following the crowd. Men think that there, somebody the other day that just passed me, I wasn't just dogging people, that wasn't what I was doing. But I was looking around, I was just noticing somebody walked by me, had earrings all over them. And I told my wife, I said, you know what's sad about that? I said, as they think they're so different. I said, but they're no different than the rest of the world. They may have gone to a different extreme, but it says the same thing about them that the rest of the world says, and that's I'm empty. I'm empty. But he warns them against that thing, that sin of being empty. He warns them about being spoiled, about being empty. And then he said, but there's only one thing that's going to fill your puzzle. There's only one thing that's going to complete your puzzle. You know how you ever put together a puzzle? My wife enjoys puzzles better than I do. But I tell you, we've got down to putting puzzles together before. And I tell you, you ever felt the sense of accomplishment, Brother Buchanan, when you get to the last piece of that puzzle? But there's a void there before you find that piece. That's where a lot of people are. They got this puzzle, but they got that void right in the middle. And they can't, and the worst yet, they've lost the piece. They've lost the piece. And the puzzle's not complete, Brother Brian. They can have religion. They can have everything money's got to offer. You can follow the crowds. You can have a good name. You can fool everybody you want to fool. But I'm telling you, there's one that you're not going to fool, and that is Jesus Christ, because He is the missing piece of the puzzle this morning. And the Apostle Paul said, beware lest any man spoil you through vain philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. After Christ. The psalmist said this morning, my soul followeth hard after thee. And in verse 9 of our text, he said, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He said, and ye are complete in Him, which is head of all principality and power. I asked myself this question this morning, why is there completeness only in Him? Why does it have to just be Christ? Why is He the only one that you can find completeness in? The key is found right there in the latter part of verse 10. The Bible said, which is the head of all principality and power. Get my wife to come to the piano if she will. I promised I wouldn't hold you long, and I'm not going to. When I read that about that principality and power, and I think about the comparison that Paul made, and he is warning us against those things that would empty us, and he is warning us against those things that can never satisfy. He said the completeness that you're going to find is only going to come when you follow after Christ. When you follow after Christ. My mind, when I read that about principalities and powers, goes to Ephesians chapter 6. Where the Bible said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. And He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle. Every man, whether he is a sinner or whether he is a saint, is wrestling. You know what you're doing right now? Struggling to get over this and struggling to get over that. You're wrestling. That's what you're doing. You know why you feel that emptiness in your soul this morning? Because you're wrestling. You're wrestling. Whether you're a sinner or a saint, you're in here and you're wrestling. And you can't get victory over what you're wrestling with. You know the only way you're going to get victory this morning? The Bible said we wrestle. But listen to what it says. You remember what I read you? The Bible said that Christ is the head of all principality and power. What are we wrestling with in Ephesians chapter 6? He said we wrestle against principalities and we wrestle against powers. And then my mind goes to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6. And this is the reason this morning that you can only find completeness in Jesus Christ. Because the Bible said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. What are you battling with this morning? What are you battling with? What are you wrestling with? What are you wrestling with? You wrestling this morning with sin? You wrestling this morning with something God's told you to do but you're not doing? You wrestling this morning? I don't know. There's a whole list of things. You know what you're wrestling with that keeps you from God. You're wrestling. Not with flesh and blood. You're not wrestling with me or Brother Derek or Brother Brian or Brother Allen or anybody else. You're wrestling with principalities and with powers. You're wrestling against something that's beyond my control. I can't control what you're wrestling with. But I'll tell you one who can. The Bible said that He given Him a name which is above every name. What are you wrestling with? The name of Jesus is above that. What are you wrestling with this morning? The name of Jesus is above it. What is your family battling with this morning? Jesus is above it. I'm telling you this morning, if you got an empty place in your heart, I'm telling you, Jesus is above it. What have you put in your life that ought not be there? Jesus is above it. And the Bible said that He's given Him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, of things in earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And in our text this morning, the Bible said, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, and blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross, and having spoiled principalities. It doesn't have to spoil you. It doesn't. You don't have to have an empty place. You don't have to stay empty and devoid of the peace of God this morning. You don't have to be spoiled because He spoiled it for you. He spoiled principalities and powers, and He made a show of them openly. The reason that Christ is the only completeness you'll find. The reason that He's the only completeness you'll find, the only reason that He's the one that fills the void, is because He's defeated it all. And until you come under the mighty hand of Jesus Christ, you'll never fill the void. He said, ye are complete in Him. Ye are complete in Him. Why can't I get my mind off the world? Because I'm not allowing myself, I'm not allowing Him to fill the void. I'm not allowing Him to fill that empty place. Lift your hands all over the house this morning. Stand with me.